Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. I'm in a good mood today. Beautiful day. It's all good. No Thursday night football tonight. I'll have to adjust. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Thursday night football.
Got a major game going on with Georgia State at Arkansas State.
No one has ever said Georgia State and Arkansas State major game, but tonight might be because of that. Hello, how are you doing this afternoon? We got a lot going on here. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me at CraigESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PShep326. So you know the drill on Thursdays, all the fun that we have. Thirsty Nick with a Thirsty Thursday. Is he back?
He just texted us.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. He took last week off. Field Yates will be with us at 3:30. We got a lot to talk about him regarding the NFL. We are on Le'Veon Bell watch and see if he dials in what team he's going to go to. You locally may have an interest in this story. We've got Wikipedia later on. Kevin Todd for his weekly visit. That'll be in the 5:30 segment. Joe's versus Pros. He's pretty good. He's professional. But we're pretty good too. And
we get a half game lead.
We're
5-3-1. He's 5-4.
So we'll have him on and we'll have some fun. Again, if you want to jump on, it's 239-337 ESPN. Pete, how are you today?
Great. It's just a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous day outside. It's still a little humid to open all the windows and all that stuff. But man, it is maybe not a 10, but it's about a 9.2. Great, beautiful day. Lots of NFL news, college football news. Obviously, not all of it is good. Yeah. That's going on. If you are a shekel person like we are, because Nick Saban won't have any contact with the team on Saturday, the line has gone from 6-4. If you can grab Alabama at 4, you grab Alabama at 4. I don't care what the situation is. You never see them with that low of a point spread.
No.
And I know Georgia's real good defensively, and I get it, yada, blah, blah, blah. I'm just telling you, this is one of those times where you jump on this. It's not like Steve Sarkisian is going to run the show. They're going to crap out on him or not try as hard because Nick isn't there. Or they might get away with stuff. I'm not buying it. I take the 4 points right now. Maybe it even goes down lower. But
yeah, I like how you're thinking on that. I was looking into Nick yesterday because the news broke yesterday and he was
on our show.
Yeah, it finally happened before 6 o'clock. Breaking news. That's good. So he was still running practice from home via Zoom. Like an assistant was running around holding a camera on his phone, and he was still barking out, to redo that play, redo this play. As you alluded to, he will not be able to do that game day. The only thing that you are allowed to do is communication from the booth upstairs to the sideline. That's it. He can't be calling in plays or anything like that. Although he did say, and I kind of laughed, we're looking into it. I mean, he's looking for some angle to be involved, but he really can't do it.
No, he can't do it. And that's,
they isolate him in a booth by himself?
Well, I'm almost thinking like Navy SEALs drop him in on a helicopter where he doesn't have to go within 6 feet of anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anybody they're going to do it for in that state, it's Nick.
Yeah, of course.
Except I have this.
Yes.
NCAA rule. I looked it up. Yeah. NCAA rule 1-4-11. I'm not kidding.
1-4-1. Okay.
Would prohibit the use of technology, including computers, to be used for coaching purposes, and this would include all virtual types of communication back to a team during the game. Consequently, any virtual session with the team would not be allowed.
Okay. First of all, the stadium is what? What are they doing capacity? 25%?
Yeah, 25.
Why can't they just give them one of the isolated suites upstairs? Say, this is my home. I'm isolating at home. This is my home this weekend. and call plays from up there.
The prohibition would begin 90 minutes before the scheduled kickoff when the officiating crew assumes jurisdiction of the game. It would include the time between periods until the end of the game when the referee declares the score final. So if the game's, what, 7:30, you know, you're talking last communication.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, okay. So next last communication will be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. All right.
If he coached anywhere other than his from home, he would be in violation of the Alabama Safer at Home order. Positive persons are required to quarantine at their residence for a time determined by the state health officer, which is currently 10 days.
So there went my loophole. Okay.
Yeah, but I think that we can call the state health officer and get that rule changed pretty quickly.
All you need to do is have Nick pay rent for a week's worth. And call the booth upstairs. You know, those suites are pretty nice. They're plush. They're like home. They're like living rooms.
I'm with you, but it's not going to happen. And he might be in jeopardy of missing Mike Leach's game with MSU too. So Mississippi State.
Well, that's true. Now Nick is asymptomatic, so maybe he comes up with a couple of negative tests.
Yep.
Well, he's testing every day.
Yeah. Right. He's looking
Hopefully
for those two negative tests.
He's trying to get those two.
He may be on the sideline on Saturday. Today's only Thursday.
No, that's the 10-day rule SEC.
All right.
But I'm all about trying to find the loophole here.
Chris, I'm trying. You can tell by the first 6 minutes of the show, I came up with three ideas. Right.
Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah.
See, I think the idea, because I heard some speculation, well, you know, if Sarkisian takes over, maybe a practice later this week, they might get away with things they might normally do. I think that team, just the opposite. I think they'll try even harder. Other schools and other situations, I would probably agree with that maybe at a certain time, but not that team. They're too disciplined. I think they're even going to go, I hate to use that term, 110%, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they'll give even extra more effort just because they don't want to let the coach down.
When I was in real estate, Pete Shepard,
yes,
in between radio gigs and unhappy with my life at the time, there were these other mega real estate agents that have, you've seen them around, mm-hmm. The Bob Smith team.
Did you have a jacket where you were your real estate company?
No, I had no team. I was by
didn't
myself.
Say, you didn't have, like I said, Craig Sheeman, number one realtor, even your own customized?
No. But I will tell you, the teams that I saw with you know, the high-dollar realtors, the high-volume realtors, and they're in every market, and they got all these maybe 6, 10, 8 other realtors working for them, and they got secretaries, and they got all these – they got a whole team. They always taught me the definition of a system is if you, as the leader of your team, could disappear and everything would still run the way it's supposed to run, whether you were there or not. That's the true definition of having a system in place. And I don't mean system like you talk about football.
What you mean. Well,
so if Nick Saban can, if his system is so well run from top to bottom that he could be gone for a game, he's the one guy I think you could do it. I mean, right?
No, yeah.
This ain't Les Miles.
This is not the situation also like in fifth grade. Oh, Mrs. Jones is out. We got Mrs. Smith as a substitute today. We can do whatever we want.
Right.
It's not like that. I think it's going to have the opposite effect on Alabama. I think they'll be even more disciplined.
Yeah.
And they're not going to want to let the coach down. They don't. I don't see it. All I know is that line is at 4 right now, and you should grab it.
Or do they look at it as, oh, we got a vacation. We got a week without Nick, like the substitute teacher.
Well,
example
I don't think
gave.
So. I don't think so.
Because you know Nick's coming back at some point. Yeah. And he's got film.
He's going to be watching.
He's going to yell
Absolutely.
At you.
Absolutely. And he's still got 2 days of practice to yell at him. I mean, he doesn't like what he sees in the formation right now via Zoom. They're going to run it again. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
It reminds me of that
a little
one,
deal, maybe, but not a big deal.
It reminds me of that one episode of Big Bang Theory where Sheldon had his face on a computer screen and it would go around on wheels. He was not there in person, but he was there virtually.
Yeah. That was a great episode.
That was a great episode. That's what Nick Saban's doing now, coaching practice. A
couple texts I want to get to. Lizard texting in. When do you think the SEC will shut down?
Not going to.
I would just say no to that. It's not going to.
Can I add? I had this thought. I had, all right, the SEC shuts down this week. The Big Ten starts. The Big Ten starts for a few weeks. Then they get COVID and they shut down. That's when the Pac-12 starts. We'll always have some form of college football, but it won't be consecutive.
No, the SEC's not shutting down.
That was my worst
case scenario. The whole conference is not going to shut down. I mean, this is not going to happen. Everybody in the country may not be able to play all their games when it's all said and done. But a conference per se, unless – beyond an extreme set of circumstances happens for like 10 teams, they're not shutting down.
And then we knew we were going to get this text and leave it to screaming little girl to say, so here we go, sports is more important than human life.
And no one is saying that.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Why does screaming little girl spend his time listening to a sports radio station? If sports isn't
important,
go listen
to a life station.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking. I appreciate you listening. I really do.
Did anybody say that?
What? No.
So the screaming little girl thinks that we should have no sports and just everything shut down.
Yes, we've got those texters that say that.
No grocery store, nothing, right? No one should do anything in this country. Just everybody just stay in your house like a hermit.
Bingo.
Which has been proven already that that is worse for you to do that. And you can still get COVID.
But everybody needs to do it.
Yeah.
I actually walked down the hall for the first time in 3 months without a mask on. I felt like a real badass.
Oh, you didn't get that email this morning?
Email. Oh, is there one this morning?
Yeah.
Really? Back on?
You got to wear your got to wear your mask.
Oh, I have it right here. I just thought we had our conversation yesterday.
Once again, you're in violation
of
company policy.
I did not know this. All right, fine. Nope, no problem. Compliant Craig. I'll take care of it.
Somebody must have complained.
That's the first time.
I wear mine.
Either that or the GM heard us talking on air about not knowing the rules.
Wow. Well, you know what? We did. We did because we
publicly
did not
that.
Know. Okay. Okay.
I put my it's just habit now. I put mine on anyway.
All right. Wow. I feel all weird.
Real quick. Rule passed by the SEC presidents last Friday. Each positive test is confirmed with three more follow-up tests by third-party testing agency. If all those come back negative, then the positive test could be deemed false positive. Yeah. If first follow-up comes back positive, out for 10 days. Mm. This all assumes a person stays asymptomatic. If they show symptoms, then the first test is deemed accurate.
What if they say that Nick had a false positive? He and the AD are the only ones.
Yep.
No players. And they come back and say Nick had a false positive. Is he back?
I don't know. I think you still have to go do the 10 days, I think.
Really?
Can you have two false positives?
Yeah, really. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Yeah. Chris, I tried. I tried like four times
fine.
To get him
it's
on the sideline.
Only 12
setting.
After.
Time now.
Oh,
for,
we haven't done it yet.
No, I'm trying to go. Time now for SportsCenter Rundown. Here's Chris.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons have shut down their facility Thursday morning after a member of the organization tested positive for COVID-19. The Falcons citing, quote unquote, an abundance of caution. That's going to be the key word of the day here because the Browns sent wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. home today with an illness out of an abundance of caution. Yep, that's the word of the day here. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler is reporting free agent running back Le'Veon Bell will sign with a team by the end of the day. He says the Chiefs, Bills, and Dolphins are the most likely landing spots.
All right. So that intrigues me. I sat here, if I'm Le'Veon Bell, because I just had this feeling that's going to be the Dolphins, but I'd rather go Chiefs or Bills are the teams that could win now. But
Matt Canada is reporting, one of the people that covers the Dolphins. Dolphins are making a bid for Le'Veon Bell are in the mix. From what I've heard, it sounds like the Chiefs and Bills would be the top two teams on Bell's list. Dolphins working hard today, though, to get him down to South Florida.
Hmm. Yeah. And Craig Wright again. The Steelers aren't even part of the picture. There's no way. I understand people and human interest, and I understand how the brain works. There's no way he's going to the Steelers. So there.
Well, no, but it was. I wouldn't say in this day and age there's no way about anything. But yeah, but it wasn't a crazy theory.
I just understand people, Pete.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw a great piece this morning in ESPN about. Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu.
I meant to click that on. What was that? Because he's
really
changing
good.
The game, it said, and I was intrigued. I just didn't have time to read it.
It was more about changing him.
Oh, really?
And it went through everything. Changing him.
So he's still not smoking authentic weed?
And I thought about you, but about how he has grown as a person. No, he addressed all of it. He didn't back away. He addressed all of it. And it sure as hell seems now like he has done a 180 as far as that stuff goes, talking about being in bad places. I thought it was a really, really good piece this morning.
Yeah. So you can change.
Well, of course you can. I know you don't believe
in
humanity.
So a badger can. I said yesterday, a leopard can't change its spots. A zebra can't change its stripes. But a honey badger, does a badger have any markings?
It's got two stripes down the back, I believe.
So he can change those stripes?
Yeah.
Maybe honey he can fill in the middle, just one be, I don't know.
Honey badgers are nasty.
Shark can change its tooth arrangement.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, how about that?
What are you talking
like
about?
Like a shark, if it loses its tooth, just a new one comes in. It changes
the... That's not changing. That's
it's
just
changing
replacing.
No, it's changing it.
He still looks like the same shark.
Starfish the same way. A starfish loses an arm, it grows back.
Yeah, it grows back.
What about a Dalmatian? It's born without spots, has spots by the end of its life.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. You ever seen a baby Dalmatian?
An all-white Dalmatian?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'm going to have to go back to see Cruella de Vil and see what those guys – were they correct?
Yes,
were they
because
correct
remember,
in the movie?
Remember she was upset when she saw the grown-up dog and then, where are the spots? Where are the spots?
Ah.
And then the spots come in when they're older.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Okay.
No, that's true.
I'm really not giving you anything. It's just a fact of life.
No, it's a fact. Yeah, it's the point of it.
All right, the Falcons, more bad news for that horrible organization. They have shut down their offices. Apparently, I've heard four people in the building have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So no players.
No players yet.
Yeah.
There's a
personnel official for the Falcons, apparently.
I heard one and I heard four. The last thing I read was four more people.
No, yeah, you're right.
The Titans dealt linebacker Camelia Carrera to the Jaguars. He was not happy with his playing time. Why wouldn't you be happy with the Titans, man? That team's rolling.
He was inactive on Tuesday night and played like 34 snaps this season. He was unhappy with his role.
Yeah, well, not a team guy. Well, he'll get to play a lot with the Jaguars because they need him. All right. Let's see. Now, Pete, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
You told I thought it was an amusing story off the air about, I've called you, you're the program director for your friends. You made calls today to local TV stations.
Yeah, I called
find
over
out
to
the
local CBS affiliate to find out, because it kept saying all this week at 1 o'clock, I weren't sure if they're going to show games or because of the schedule being moved around and Miami being moved to 4:05 and blah, blah, blah. So I asked them, because on Fox this week, they're actually showing, at least now, Chicago, Carolina at 1, and then Tampa Bay and Green Bay at 4:25.
Okay.
There's no 1 o'clock game locally on CBS this week, but the Dolphins and Jets will play at 4:05 on the local CBS affiliate this week.
So be locked into the Red Zone channel like normal.
No, I'm telling you, sign up for the CBS All Access app. You can access, well, you don't care because the Lions are... Yeah. Not, but you can sign up for a week. I think it's 2 weeks free or a week free. It's $9.99 without commercials. You can stream any game on the app and just cancel.
Here's what I have found.
First week's free.
Here's why I don't do that. Most of these things in life are designed where it's easy to sign up for free at first, and then when you want to go back and can't, you can't find the fine print. It's an act of Congress to find out how to cancel something before they charge your credit card $9.99.
Normally, I'd agree with you 100%, but I've done it with this app before and one other one, and you get emails to remind, and it just says, push here if you want to cancel.
That is easy.
And then it'll go to one other page, so click here to confirm, and that's it.
I'm a little surprised.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised. I've done it with two
apps. So do you alternate every other week with a new username, or what do you do? I mean, you use it for 2 weeks, then cancel?
I think you get a certain amount of time. I haven't done it on the CBS app in over a year, so I think there's like a statute of limitations.
Gotcha.
And then you can reset.
Okay.
But yeah, otherwise, you know, we all have two or three email addresses, right? I basically only use one, but.
I guess I'm down to two now. Yeah. One at work and one personal.
Yeah.
That's it. I simplified my life years ago.
Head says, why is there no Thursday night game? Because.
All right, explain it. Go ahead.
It's a long list. It goes back 2 weeks ago.
It's just everything. Buffalo and Kansas City would have been played tonight. They're being played Monday night along with Arizona and
a reminder,
Dallas.
Buffalo played 2 days ago.
Because Buffalo had to play on Tuesday. They couldn't play on Thursday. Yes. And now they've moved this game to Monday at 5.
Yes. Yep.
They still had to give them a primetime slot because I believe this is an online game as well.
Yes, Amazon.
Yeah, and it's only on NFL Network, too.
The Buffalo, really?
The Buffalo Chiefs game is on NFL Network.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the local Fox affiliate is not picking it up, but it's just NFL Network and has been on Amazon Prime. And then Cardinals Cowboys, which I think should be a very entertaining game at 8:15 on ESPN on Monday night.
And that's the reason that the Bills Chiefs game is at 5, because ESPN didn't like 2 weeks ago when the Chiefs Patriots fourth quarter interfered with the start of their game.
Yeah.
All right.
It will not be the last 5 o'clock kickoff on a weekday this season in the NFL.
And we'll see another Tuesday night game too. That'll happen too.
Yeah.
Probably.
I got to tell you, I kind of like the Tuesday night slot.
Yeah, but do you like the Tuesday night slot in place of the Thursday night slot?
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know tonight.
Okay.
If I'm roaming around the house and I'm like, I feel like I should be watching something, then I'll let you know. But I kind of liked it. It was fun rolling from Monday night. Oh, there's another game.
It was an entertaining game too.
That did help.
Kind of a blowout, but at least a lot of points were scored.
I lost Skittles on it, but I liked having it on.
You're not going to go undefeated, are you?
No.
Nah, so it's a loss. Chalk it up to a loss.
Just another loss.
Again, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that Josh Allen, threw his first two picks of the year.
Yeah.
It's really not Josh Allen's fault.
Well, one of them wasn't.
Half of them. Not. Yeah, the first one was on the receiver.
Exactly.
It wasn't Diggs. It was somebody else.
No, I can't remember.
It's going to be great to see how both teams respond.
Yeah, coming off their first loss of the year.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Once again, Dalvin Cook did not practice again today for the Vikings.
Okay. All right. Very
good.
Your
fantasy people out there.
Yep.
Alexander Mattison, big play. If the Vikings-Falcons game gets played this weekend.
Yeah.
The Vikings, who do they have?
Falcons.
Minnesota.
Falcons. Okay. Yeah, if it's limited to the front office.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Lots of stuff on the old internet here this morning about landing spots for Matt Ryan. Everybody's jumping on Arthur Blank's non-commitment. And even one of them go to your Patriots when Cam Newton doesn't re-sign.
That makes sense, but I still think going to San Francisco makes more sense if the 49ers are indeed going to give up on Garoppolo, which I still think they need more time with that situation.
You know what the most heady play was I saw online, and I thought, huh. And I think even Greeny was talking about it today. The Colts cut Phillip Rivers, trade for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
You're a playoff team right now.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
And again, I promoted Phillip Rivers. Yep. I thought he had another couple of bullets in the old holster but I don't think he does.
I disagree with you. I just had a bad feeling about it.
So how about put Matt
Ryan
on that team?
Your logic was sound. Your logic was sound because you thought, maybe he didn't have to do that much. But
turns out the Chargers are pretty good.
He's made a lot of non...
He was holding them back.
A couple of unveteran light. For a guy in a league that long, he's made a couple of real bad boo-boos.
Yeah.
I heard somebody today talking about in the offseason, if the Colts stick with Rivers this year, do you call up the Jets and just see what the asking price on Sam Darnold is?
I'm sure his name is going to come up before the trading deadline.
Absolutely. A really good offensive line in front of him.
Do you put all your eggs in that basket, unproven
at this
point?
I think that's why you ask, what's this going to cost me?
Yeah.
Because Phillip Rivers is not the answer.
Because I'd rather have Matt Ryan than Sam Darnold. Yes. If I think I can win right now.
I would.
If I can win right now,
I've got such a hard time. I don't know what Sam Darnold is because it's been a show at MetLife for the last 2 years.
It's a good point. I want to see him on a well-structured organization. That's what I'd like to see.
Like, I think
give him a shot.
The
first
upside is there. I mean, if you trade for Darnold, it's Sam Darnold in the offseason, you're trading for a top three pick who's, 25, 26 years old?
Except most top picks, quarterbacks, I'd say top 15, if you really look at it, the top 10 picks, and you really look at it over a 20-year period, 50-50. Half of them, it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
I would love to see him start on a really good team for like a month and see how that went, see how that goes.
Well, you could trade for him, and he's got 1 year left on his deal before he's – I mean, after this offseason, you got to pick up his fifth, right?
This offseason, yeah.
Still relatively cheap if you traded for him. As opposed to Matt Ryan, you're hauling in a big-ass contract.
You're hauling in $50
million. Yeah.
Like, that's
I think the Colts have room to do that. They've got room.
They do.
See, I had them picking up Aaron Rodgers next year or whatever. I'm a year behind Pete's theory. he thinks it's this year. I think Aaron Rodgers is playing too well for them to get that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into that at the end of the year when we decide what they're going to do.
By the way, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews will call Bucks Packers Sunday from Tampa. And then they're going to call the Bills Chiefs game on Monday on NFL Network from Buffalo at 5.
So Aaron Andrews tweeted out yesterday that this will be her first game at Raymond James Stadium.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
She's been in the league for like a decade.
Yeah, but how many feature 425 games have they had?
The Bucks haven't had one, I guess.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they did, there's another 425 game. It's probably Dallas and somebody they sent.
Not the feature 425. It was that other 405 kick.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine. Well, he's been on the show, and you know, Jerome Jurinovich.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He's a big baseball fan and does stuff for Braves pregame and all that. So he was in the new stadium in Arlington covering the Braves, and he sent a picture on social media. He says, all right, check this one off the box. 52 Major League Baseball stadiums he's been to in his life. That's pretty cool. He's been to them all. He got to the new one now. So
yeah, I don't think I've been to six.
I've been to, it's around 10 or
Fenway,
less.
Fenway, Shea. I mean, been to the new one.
I've been to two different ones in Atlanta.
The two Yankee stadiums count? I don't know.
Yeah, it does. That's two.
Yeah, that counts.
St. Louis. Pittsburgh. I think that's it.
I did the two Marlins ballparks. I've done the Trop, and I did...
I've been to the Trop. I've been to. That's
I've been
six.
To Turner. The old Turner.
I think six.
I think I'm six. Dodger Stadium, Anaheim, the old Tiger Stadium.
Sorry, seven. Camden Yards.
Minute Maid.
Okay. Minute Maid. I forgot about that one.
You went to the Trop?
Yeah, been to the Trop. Yep. And I've been to the old Reds Riverfront Stadium before they imploded that. So I lost count. I think I'm around six.
I'm at seven.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Coming up, we'll get into, speaking of baseball, the Rays did not close it out and lock their ticket to the World Series. They'll play again today. An amazing game for the Dodgers. And, well, history repeated itself for the Braves. So we'll talk about that.
Money line, minus 1.5.
And, yeah.
I took it. It's not a hunch.
And a big-time general manager in the NBA stepping down. We'll get into all that still to come on today's show. Don't forget, Sunday afternoons, we've just alluded to the Battle of the Bays, Battle of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers head-to-head. Gene Deckerhoff with a call starts at 3:30, kickoff at 4:25. Buccaneers presented all season long right here on 99.3 ESPN. By the Boathouse on Naples Bay. Signs in one day in Fort Myers off Alika Road. Creel Tractor and by My Shower Door. Want to see more? Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday. Thirsty Nick will be by at 3 o'clock. Coming up at 5 o'clock hour, Kevin Todd, Pros versus Joes. Pete and I actually have a half game lead. Not too bad so far.
Yeah, long way to go. But
and also, Field Yates at 3:30 for our weekly visit. All right. We have some developing news in the NBA. I would normally do breaking news, but I don't think our audience cares enough. So, Ty Lue, assistant head coach Ty Lue, who was the coach for LeBron in Cleveland, was an assistant with the Clippers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's now going to be the head coach of the Clippers, just signed a 5-year deal. Little surprising because all the rumors and the tea leaves said that he was the clubhouse leader in Houston. However,
but the first clubhouse he was leading was the Clippers, let's be honest. That's where everybody thought he would end up initially, but
we thought, Now, let's follow the dots here because, again, with the Ty Lue story in Houston lingering, I know that Jeff Van Gundy also interviewed there.
Stan.
I mean, no, Jeff in Houston, Stan in New Orleans.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Am I right about that? Okay. Because I made the joke the other day. Jeff was the token white guy interview. So he interviews there. But apparently he interviewed well. He's going to get the job. Now, well, we don't know that for a fact. But Daryl Morey, the long-term general manager and controversial manager with Houston, has stepped down after 13 years. which makes me wonder if maybe Jeff Van Gundy is going to have multiple roles, have a lot more say with the roster, and become the new head coach. That's not been announced yet, but the Daryl Morey part is true. He is stepping down.
And yeah, and apparently he didn't get fired. He's stepping down on his own.
That's what they say.
So they say.
Ownership does like Daryl Morey. I mean, look, they got bounced early in the bubble. He had all the, you know, he supported Hong Kong and the whole China thing shut down, and the NBA lost $400 million this year because of his tweet, which he was on the right side of the tweet, but that just shows you the hypocrisy of the NBA.
But Woj is also reporting that the Rockets are planning to promote Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations Raphael Stone to General Manager, and promoting Eli Whitus to Assistant GM.
Puppets all. I think the next head coach is going to have the say, basically. And we'll see. We'll see.
I got no idea who Raphael Stone is at all. Never heard of him in my life.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know if Stan Van Gundy is going to have total control. Do you want Stan Van Gundy to have total control?
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, I mean. Jeff Van Gundy.
I don't know. I think Jeff's a lot brighter than Stan.
Stan built a pretty average team in Detroit.
Yeah. He had all the power in Detroit, and that was just mediocrity.
Well, he had Drummond and what's Blake?
Yeah, Blake Griffin. He made the Blake Griffin deal. Listen.
Which was smart at the time.
You also have to ask yourself, what's it going to take to get Jeff Van Gundy's been out of the league for a while. He's been a broadcaster. And those kind of guys always say, well, something extra special comes. That means most likely he wants control.
Well, doesn't he live in Houston?
Yes.
He's never wanted to move his family. That's been the problem.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So he wants to coach as long as it's the Rockets.
Yeah. I think he'll be, he'll be the next coach.
Yeah, 41 nights a year.
But Stan in New Orleans is, I think Stan Van Gundy, as I said, I hate him as a broadcaster, but as a coach, I've always, respected him. 61 years old. He's got a winning career percentage of .577 with Miami, Orlando, and Detroit. He's got a lot of young core candidates, Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and he's got some veterans there, J.J. Redick and Drew Holiday.
That's an exciting roster.
It's an interesting roster.
That's an exciting roster. I think any coach would want to see what they could do with that roster, I think. Particularly with Zion, if he could stay healthy.
So I forget that Stan Van Gundy was, like you just said, he was the president and coach.
Of Detroit?
Yeah, the Pistons.
Yeah.
He took over right after Dumars left, right? Or was there a gap?
I think
in 2016, it says Van Gundy did elevate the Pistons out of several years in the lottery to the playoffs in 2016 with 44 wins.
Yeah, but they got swept in the first round by LeBron and the Cavs.
Look,
yeah,
I think he's a good coach. He's a likable figure in the media, and I think he can get you so far. Now, refresh my memory. When Stan was with the Heat, things started to get good, and is that when Riley came down to coach one last time?
To finish 06, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a bad look for Riles.
But I mean, then, I felt bad for Stan. Then after Stan, I mean, he was the coach of the Magic when they went and lost to the Lakers in 09
and
in the finals.
And had Dwight Howard stab him in the back.
Yeah, and then there was that awkward press conference.
Right. Ironic that Dwight had the back problems later on because it was Dwight that stabbed Stan in the back.
Dwight got his.
He got his.
And he got his championship.
Now he got his championship.
That's what I'm saying. He got his championship.
Yeah.
Dwight won. Sorry, Stan.
NFL chief. Yeah, well, we can move on. I mean, it's only. I think both Van Gundy's interesting.
Yeah,
Stan with New Orleans is interesting, and I just don't know how much power Jeff is going to have in Houston. I don't know. I don't know the two guys they promoted. I don't know how much latitude that Jeff Van Gundy's going to have as far as personnel goes.
No, nobody knows right now. I just, those guys didn't have any real power. I mean, Daryl Morey was one of the most autonomous GMs in the league. And we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. They could be puppets. Ooh. And then bring in, or they could be the real deal. Yes.
New Orleans and Houston, same division. They'd play 13 times.
It's a family affair. It's a Van Gundy affair.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't play 13 times, but they would play a lot.
They would play
six, I think. They may change the schedule this year. You may only be playing in the West.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
So it might be 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Dan Graziano reporting. NFL Chief Medical Officer Alan Sills says Falcons, Panthers under intensive COVID protocols this week following positive tests in Atlanta. Carolina played Atlanta on Sunday. Intensive protocols include all virtual meetings, masks on practice field, among other things.
Okay. Now, Carolina.
They got home to Chicago this week.
It's been 4 days since they played, right? And no positive tests. So I would think that would be a good sign so far for them.
Yeah.
And hopefully for Atlanta, this little snafu is just the front office, hasn't trickled down to the players. But, I mean, yeah, they got to shut it down and make sure it doesn't spread beyond that. This is going to be a weekly thing, man.
It is.
I tell you, it's whack-a-mole.
Just pray they get all these games in. But I still contend there's a chance that some teams in the NFL may not play 16 games. And certainly in college, they still think there's a chance that a lot of teams aren't going to finish their schedules. But that's the way it's going to be.
Well, in the SEC this week, we had a little room for error, and then now that went away. That's, you know, the open week at the end when they move these games that they're canceling. We're starting to run out of room. You can't have a late October, early November hiccup like we're having now.
If Florida has another, you know, outbreak and they miss another game, they're not going to get all their games.
Well, I'm thinking that at some point the college football playoff selection committee will say, okay, we can't stick to this December 20th date as our final date no matter what. We're going to have to adapt like everybody else is going to have
and
to
expand.
Adapt. Because I don't think that there's any way that this is the end of the COVID cases in the SEC or the ACC. The Big Ten hasn't started back up yet. You know you'll see some cases when that starts back up. And they're trying to play 8 games in 8 weeks. Same with the Pac-12. They're trying to play 7 games in 7 weeks. Like, it's just...
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
And we knew that.
And why are they so special that they're not going to change their rules, but everybody else needs to change what they do differently?
If the committee would delay past the December 20th.
20th, yeah, yeah.
That's good news for the Pac-12. I think it's a little glimmer of hope for them, because...
Yeah.
They're not going to have enough games.
Every other sport has adapted and adjusted in some way, shape, or form. And college football gets you, you know.
Why can't we go to the 27th or go to January 3rd? Like, what's so special?
I don't care if they have to go to February. I don't care. I mean, what's the difference?
You know the stadium availability in Miami is going to be there.
Right.
I don't think they'll be hosting any playoff games late in January. So,
and the Rose Bowl is available.
Problem averted. Like, we can figure this out.
Yeah.
I think that it's a matter of time before they come out and say, yeah, we'll push this back a few
weeks. And it's the commissioners are going to have to come to an accord over this. It's like a creepy Mark Emmert is not going to – that's not – he's out of it. So.
Yeah. And we'll just tell Larry Scott of the Pac-12 what to do.
And how about this little program?
We'll go along with Kevin Warren. Kevin Warren has a lapdog. His name is Larry Scott.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And he'll tell him what to
do. It's Google.
Well, remember, Larry Scott has – remember, the Pac-12 just hired a couple other people, too.
They have a football commissioner.
They have a football guy is what they have. If it doesn't go right, they blame him.
How about this little nugget? With the Fox's Chiefs-Bills game postponed from tonight until Monday, which is going to be on NFL Network, Fox and FS1 will simulcast Game 4 of Braves Dodgers tonight against two presidential town halls.
Oh. Yeah, Chris and I were talking about this off the air. So tonight, Trump on NBC, Biden on ABC, they're going side by side with their own separate town halls, and then we got the baseball.
Yeah.
Going on. So you got some choices for TV tonight.
Yep.
I'm going to get caught up on Big Brother.
Oh, I'll watch baseball and I'll probably watch some college football game. I will not be watching.
It's time for me to start dialing in on some baseball.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe.
Start paying attention?
Maybe.
Now that the Rays are 1 win away and the
Rays were 1 foot away from tying that game last night, hit the bottom. I thought it was gone when what's his name hit it. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, we should mention, in case you thought you were watching some deja vu last night. So the Braves gave up 11 runs in the first inning to the Dodgers. Dodgers win 15-3. Stop me if you've heard this before. It was literally a year ago where the Braves were playing the Cardinals on a game we were watching here. It was an afternoon game.
And we had the Cardinals.
And they gave up 10 runs in the first inning.
That's right. I forgot about
that. And lost that one 11, or was it 11-1?
Whatever it was.
I can't remember.
So that's twice in two postseasons they've come up to bat as the home team down 10 or more runs in the first.
It's a very Braves thing now. They own that. You can't change that history.
Yeah, no. I mean, but they're there.
So Clayton Kershaw is going to go finally after 2 days later that he was supposed to go. He's going to go tonight for the Dodgers.
Don't you get the feeling the Braves might be? I don't know. It's only one game. Kyle Wright, though, yesterday, two-thirds of an inning, five hits, seven earned runs, an ERA of 23.63.
Wow.
Dayton had two innings pitched with eight earned runs and an ERA of 36.
Crazy. So I did hear last Braves pitcher to pitch less than an inning while giving up seven earned runs or more.
Yeah.
John Smoltz.
Really?
Not bad company to keep.
Shocking.
Yep.
Not bad company.
All right. So I can't, every year it's an annual rite of passage. It is the most important game of Clayton Kershaw's career. We hear that every post. And then he lays an egg. But he's got to pitch tonight trying to even up the series. The Rays and the Astros have their early game today. Rays up 3-1. That's a 507.
Braves are plus 196.
And if you can't find the Braves-Dodgers game on the television, we will have that game starting at 7:30 tonight.
Nice.
Had to commit to something.
Yeah.
I like it.
Why not?
All right, Sound Street next. If you miss any of the show, make sure you download Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Get it at 99.3ESPN.com. On the free 99.3 ESPN app or wherever you get your podcast. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, let's start out with Nick Saban, who came up positive with the COVID. Here he is. He didn't know how he got it.
Well, I feel fine, so I'm not really concerned that much about my health, but you never know. You know, I just want to make – look, I basically feel like, you know, when we're in our own personal bubble here, I think everybody's in a much safer place. I think as soon as you travel, you get exposed to a lot more things and a lot more people, if that makes any sense. Even though I've worn a mask on the sidelines, I wear a mask all the time, in the hotel, on the bus, in the plane. So nobody really knows, you know, how this occurs.
That is Nick Saban. Here's some more. He thought he did a pretty good job with virus prevention.
I personally think I did a really good job of trying to manage my personal space, and that would be what I've informed our players to try to do, because you have to respect this disease and the spread of this disease. So I guess my message would be, you know, adhere to protocol of what people are informing us to do. Wash our hands, wear a mask, social distance. All those things I think are important. You know, I always tell our players, just assume that everyone that you come in contact with might be infected, and you might be infected and not know it and actually, you know, bring harm to them.
Good rules to live by. He again reiterated, not really worried about himself.
Our medical staff has done a really good job. And the number one thing that I would be concerned about is, you know, can the players still go out, focus on the game, play the game. It's a big game for them. Our goal as coaches is always to get them in the best position they can be in to be able to have success. And we need to try to continue to do that. And that would be, you know, the greatest concern that I have. Not that, you know, I haven't blocked anybody or tackled anybody, caught any passes, thrown any passes in a game for a long, long time. So it's still going to be up to how the players execute, and it's still going to be up to our – it's up to us to try to get them in the best position to do that.
All right, here's Heather Dinich on Get Up on how Saban cannot coach on Saturday.
There is a rule in the NCAA football rules that was provided to ESPN.com yesterday from the SEC office saying that the coaches cannot have communication unless you are in the press box to the field. So by rule, Saban is not allowed to call in to the game on Saturday. He's not allowed to Zoom in on Saturday. And that rule goes into effect 90 minutes before the start of the game, when the officials take control of the game, until the end of the game when they blow the whistle and the score is final. So his communication is limited to practice this week, not in game.
All right. And the spread now, Alabama
four.
Okay. Four minus four against Georgia. Baseball, we mentioned the Dodgers jumped all over the Braves yesterday in the first inning with 11 runs. Here's Max Muncy with a grand slam on FS1.
Here's a fly ball into right center field, back at the wall. It is gone! Grand slam! And the first inning is historic. 11 runs on the board for the Dodgers, as they are just dropping bombs here in the first inning on the Atlanta Braves.
Maybe they were banging trash cans and getting signals. They're all over that. As Corey Sager said, the Dodgers came out roaring.
Yeah, you know, that was a big first inning for us. We kind of built off of last night. It was nice to see it kind of translate into today's game. But, you know, a lot of credit goes to Julio. He sat for 40-plus minutes that first inning and still came out and attacked guys and was in the zone making pitches, and he did it all night. It was a really impressive outing all the way around the field.
Here's Brian Snicker of the Braves. Still up to this, you know, I love it. This is the sunny, the glass half full guy. And we're still up 2-1 in the series.
You know, obviously he wanted to go out there and have a great start. Didn't work out, and you know, it's we're still in a good spot with you know, the four games left, and you know, we just, like I say, as a whole team, we just turn the page and get ready to go tomorrow.
In the ALCS, the Rays did not sweep the Astros and get that final clinching game to go to the World Series. The Astros did win. Jose Altuve, who has been horrible in the field, actually hit a home run in this game. Hmm. He said he felt like he let the team down the last few games. Yeah.
You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to do things against your team. You know, you're always trying to help your team, and for me, just to not contribute, to not play good and help my team to win is, you know, I feel bad.
How low is this for you in your career?
I haven't think about that.
All right.
Pete.
Not good.
The way he turns on a high fastball, it's like Dustin Pedroia, right?
In a lot of ways,
you can't get the ball, you know, 98 at his shoulders. He'll turn on it.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. And Vlad Guerrero was like that, too.
Here's Kevin Cash of the Rays. He says, look, our bats need to wake up.
We got to get the bats going. No doubt about it. We've been carried here by our pitching and defense, which that's how we're built. But it sure would be nice to find a way to get the bats going and keep the line moving a little bit. Right now, it's not coming easy for really anybody, with the exception of, you know, a couple guys, Randy, Joey, Manny swung the bat well. But we've got guys in our lineup that are just scuffling a little bit. It was encouraging to see Austin Meadows with the at-bats he had today. He had a good day.
All right, so that's the list on baseball. Again, those two games get underway today. Rays, Astros at 5 o'clock. Dodgers, Braves tonight later on. When we come back, we just got Thirsty Nick has an emergency at work. He cannot do the he'll check in later. Look, it's been so long since I've had a real job. I'll check in later. We'll have him on later. Whatever, you know what? Whenever you're good, you just call into the radio show.
That's what we do. We'll accommodate anybody's schedule. can't call now. You know, we'll get you on.
We got Field at 3:30, and we got Kevin at 5:30. Yeah. So don't call in then.
He might, he might lose his space. It's a competitive deal, this radio business. But we'll have him on later on. When we come back, Adam Gase checking in on Le'Veon Bell. We'll hear from the Dolphins and Buccaneers camps as well. Still some more good sound to get to. And then, as Pete alluded to and Chris, Field Yates at 3:30. Lots of NFL football around the corner. Stay with us. Just warming up here on a Thursday. 1 hour in the books. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.